Are we good? Okay, good morning, everyone. I think we're going to get ready to start some worship. I'm not pointing out, you know, anybody in the back talking. It's all good. I will start and they will worship. Well, Father, Lord God, I pray that you just lead us today. Help us to come, Father, with hungry hearts, Lord. Help us to want to learn from your word, Father. Help us to not come here today, Father, and have like ulterior motives, Lord God. We don't want to come here and just assume that we're going to hear what we want to hear, Father, but we just want to hear truth, Lord. Help our selfish desires just to go away, Father. Help us to only long for your truth. Father, Lord God, I do pray that no matter what we're going through, Father, we are able to praise you, Lord. And Josh and I and the kids watched a movie last night called Ben-Hur, which I'm sure we've all seen the original. But oh my goodness, the new one is amazing. I think it's on Netflix. I can't remember where we watched it. But it was the graphics, the story, and I had never seen the original. But it made me cry last night. I tried so hard. You know, you don't want to cry during a movie, but it was so emotional about how someone had this loving family, and they loved him so much. And then there was betrayal, and then there was like all this hate and this anger, and at the end it was all forgiveness. And it was so beautiful. And just, you know, the Lord has us go through all these steps because he wants us to learn. He likes us to get there a little bit faster than what we choose to do. But I just pray right now, I just think about all those times where I had a lot of anger. A lot of stuff happened when I was younger. Then I had a father who just completely abandoned me, and I hated him. I mean, I had passionate hate for this person. And I just can't even describe where my emotions went. And I saw that in this movie. I saw this passion for hate. And then I remember when the Lord worked on my heart, and he's like, you got to let it go because it's making you hurt. It's hurting you. So right now, I just want to pray for anyone right here. And it's real. You know, no one's looking at you like, oh, you're a bad person because you have this. But it's crippling you. So Father, right now, I just want to pray if there's anyone here that has any unforgiveness, Lord God. If they have any hate in them, Lord God. And even murder, Lord God. When we hate someone so much, Father, that murders in our heart. But Father, I pray right now for freedom. I pray, Father, that when we even are by that person that we had all that passionate hate for, Lord God, we have nothing but mercy and grace because, Lord, we mess up. We have problems. There might be someone that has an offense even against us, Lord God. So, Father, we want mercy. We want grace. Help us to give that freely. And just to expound a little bit, you know, after so many years of never talking with my dad, I moved down to Florida. He lived down here, too, and I went to go visit him just to let him know, I have forgiven you. You know, even if he doesn't want it, I have forgiven you. And he had some pretty choice words for me, I cannot say. And he was awful. He was really mean, and he told me to leave and get off his lawn. And even with that, I'm like, you know what? I'll try again, even if it's on his deathbed, because he was a horrible person, but nobody deserves to go to hell. Nobody deserves. Everyone needs that feeling of forgiveness. So anyway, that was just kind of on my heart this morning.
From the highest of high to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, unchangeable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall.
think that's so important for us to remember, is that he sees the depths of our heart. You know, even if we show up here every Sunday and, you know, we are like, hey, we're holy, we're doing good, everything is wonderful. You know, if you're not having a good time, if you're having a hard time, if you're struggling with sin, the Lord likes a humble heart. He doesn't want us to come here prideful like we have it all together, because we don't. He already knows we don't. All of us pretty much knows we don't too. So if you're having a hard time, share it with someone so they can pray for you, so they can cry with you, so they can laugh with you. You know, this is why we're here. We're supposed to be a family. And usually as family, we can all know the dirt on each other, you know? Not so we can hold it against each other, but so we can say, hey, you're human just like me. Let's edify each other. Let's lift each other up. So I pray, Father, that's what we do here. Help us not to be hypocrites, Lord God. Help us not to pretend or be those actors, Lord God, and act like everything's okay. Help us to be transparent and humble. Because the only way we're going to get better with anything, Father, is if we admit our sin and ask for help. Because we have a great God.
And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to you, to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. At that very time, Jesus rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of the heavens and the earth. You did hide these things from the wise and intelligent and did reveal them to the babes. Yes, Father, for this it was well-pleasing in your sight.
Amen.
How great. Oop, I'm on.
Whoops. I don't know about you, but I am certainly glad that the Lord Jesus Christ chose to reveal these things to babes like me, so that people can look at these foolish things like me and see not me, but Christ living in me, the hope of glory. Amen. All right, well, let's see what we have for today. Now, so wonderful Amy Amster was talking about how we need to be like open and honest. And so you guys will need to pray for me today. Why, you ask? Hopefully you're praying for me a lot, because I need it. But I pray for you. I pray for you, all of you. And my prayer is that even as my brother, I think, Mark mentioned last week, that we would grow in knowledge and depth of insight, and that your hearts would be set aflame for him, and that you would know his love and his discipline and his awesomeness, his magnificence, that you would come to know his word rooted and grounded. You know, my prayer is that you would grow in the Lord and in his mighty power, that you would hear his voice and sense his presence, and that you would know the reality of walking with him better. That's what I want for me, and that's what I want for you. Because there's such a great difference between just being religious, right, and going to church and going through motions, and having a real life relationship with the living God. It's totally different. It's night and day. It's life and death. And so even with today's notes, okay, we got a fun topic to go over. We're going to talk about the S word. Yes, we are. We're going to address the S word in church. In church, it's submission. Okay, just so in case anybody's mind's going elsewhere. So this is a really important topic too that we need to talk about. It's so funny how you know, the enemy's always working, and God's work, you know, the enemy's always working to move you away from the Lord, right? So here I have, I just got to tell you, so this is why you need to pray. So first off, I'm doing my work last night, my computer, after I put off all these updates, Microsoft updates, you know, during my study time, it decides to update. I didn't tell it to update. In fact, I specifically told it not to update. And here it is updating. This might take a while. Meanwhile, hours later, I'm going twitch, twitch. Okay, just trust the Lord. Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I've just decided I'm going to get up super early in the morning. Super early. Because I've done some stuff, you know, and I just want to make sure. And I'm going to, you know, I'll just do it then. It stinks. Okay, don't get all mad about it. Trust in the Lord. I felt like the Lord would say, just trust me. So, okay. So then I get up early in the morning, right? I turn on my computer, and I'm thinking, okay, at least now it's early. I've got hours before church. I hit the ground running, right? Installing the updates. This may take a while. Okay, and I just felt the Lord, trust in me, Darren. Okay. Okay, so I did that. So an hour or so later, I'm like, okay, you're still behind, but you still have hours, right? So we're okay still, all right? So then I do all this work, right, on the PowerPoints. I get it all organized, just the flow of things, and I'm like, okay, this is exactly where I need to be. I am so excited. Great. And I have got my notes. I literally have, don't freak out, 17 pages of notes. Hey, the good news is I don't have them. That's another story. So I'm all excited, right? I'm all excited. I'm like, yes. And then I go to save it. And because of whatever the updates it made, it does this little flash on the screen where it says, PowerPoint is trying to save the data. It's not happening. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And then it's saying, trying to recover data. And it's all gone. Twitch. So I'm like, oh! So now I'm like, now I did it for a minute. You know, I banged my elbow into the counter. I'm like, oh, Lord, you know. And he's like, just trust me. So I started to do it, and then it happened again. Okay, Lord, okay. So then, I'm just going to, okay, he just wants me to trust in him, right? We all know this, right? So then I'm like, well, I have my notes. I have 17 pages of notes. 17 pages. Okay. So I go to click the little print button, and guess what? It won't print. There's no ink. We're out of ink completely in the printer. Twitch. So the Lord has a real, you know, and it's, I know, we know where to trust in him, right? And, that's funny too. Okay, so I don't have that. But, because I was thinking, but here's, I printed off about 50 pages of stuff. Okay, last week, because we're going to talk about some of this stuff. So I have like handouts for us to go over. So I'm like, it's okay. I still have the handouts. So as I'm just looking up here today, they're gone. They're just gone. So somebody wonderfully cleaned up for us, and the Lord is still trying to. So actually, even before I got here, I said, Lord, I'm just telling you all the dirt. I said, Lord, you know what's going on today. Keep away anybody you want to keep away and bring in anybody you want to bring in. So if the Lord got you here today, there's a message. I don't know what that is yet. So you're going to have to pray, but let's just stop and let's ask the Lord. He has a message to speak to us today, and we're just going to trust in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Okay, Father God, we just praise you, and we thank you, and we love you, Lord. We know you to be a good God, and we trust you, Lord, in all things. So we ask, Lord, that you would teach us. Lord, your word says it's your Holy Spirit that teaches us all things, Lord God. So I just selfishly ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to teach your people. These are your people, not my people, not Home Fellowship Church's people, your people. Lord, will you teach your people? Will you teach them the truth correctly in a corrupt society that doesn't want to hear the truth anymore? Would you reorient our minds, our thinkings, to what is in line with your heart and your word and your Holy Spirit, even now, that we would receive anything you have to say to us? Will you speak to each one of us personally, Lord, as we're going through the scriptures, Lord. And we ask these things in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, so let's go through just a minute of announcements, if I can. And if I still have them, I don't know if they're up here. Okay, good. Okay, so again, if you guys, some folks are new to the faith, so if you're looking for Christian radio stations, why not listen to music that honors the Lord? 88.1. is a cool radio station. If you're looking for a little bit of the older stuff, which is still good, a lot of great talk on it and teachings, 104.3, Moody Radio also is a nice one to check out. Also, we have free Panera bread loaves. We've got those baguettes. We've got probably 50 of those baguettes in bags here, and loaves and loaves and loaves of bread. Take them home with you after the service. Go ask Miss Connie or Kelly or Miss Neely or anybody back there to help you, but we want you to take them home as a gift in Jesus' name. It's all free. We don't take up tithes and offerings, but we do receive them in the back in a little bird box, and so we receive your tithes and offerings back there. We do have an equipping ministry here at the church, and we're going to be giving away some stuff today, but I'll get to that a little bit later, and Lunar Library a little bit later. We do sermons online at homefellowshipchurch.com on audio. Hey, just a little funny thing. Well, I'll tell you that in a minute, too. We have prayer here at about 9:30, 9 or 9:30. We'd love for you to come Sunday mornings and to pray with us. That'd be awesome. The men's Bible study and dinner, we are going through Ecclesiastes, The Pursuit of a Meaningful Life, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Yeah. Nice. Sorry.
But more important than that is we're going to be in Ecclesiastes 4 and 5. And so if you're going to be there, why not read it ahead of time and ask the Lord what he would reveal to you that you can then share with the group?
Okay. Ecclesiastes 4 and 5. Read it ahead of time to see what he wants you to share with the group. Okay. So 6 p.m. dinner. Guys, come on out. And then after that is the Bible study, The Pursuit of a Meaningful Life, going through the book of Ecclesiastes. On Wednesday is a Transformers Youth Group called Josh and Amanda for Details, and that's 6:30 to 8:30, so we want to invite you to come out to that. Thursday night is our barbecue and Bible study. Hey, I just want to say something, just publicly. Okay, first off, I forgot to send out the text on last Thursday, so I'm sorry about that. But also, Gary started the book of Mark, and it was really excellent and refreshing and encouraging in the Lord. So I just wanted to say that was a fantastic study. So there's no pressure for next time. Just keep up the good work. So yes. But I just want to encourage you, and I want to invite you to come out because it's just wonderful, even just hearing that gospel again, and it was being taught right and well, good interaction with everybody. It was just a wonderful time. All right, Shepherd's Heart Christian School, continue to pray for it. We are going to have another baptism up here. I've already got four people that have said they wanted to get baptized, two from Thursday night, one from our youth group, and one from Wisconsin who wants to come, Lord willing, and come down and get baptized. And so that's four so far. But if you've made a profession of faith in Christ, the next step is to get baptized. And that's just telling the world that you want to leave that sin dead and buried in the water, and you want to raise to new life and follow Jesus Christ. So if you want to do that, let us know. And we will arrange it.
Today's a good day.
You know what? I'm willing to do it today. So if you don't want to wait till it gets a little bit warmer, you just tell me, and I'll jump in that freezing cold pool or water, and I'll baptize you. We'd be happy to do it in Jesus' name. So, yeah. This is funny, too. Okay, Nate Weber was up here sharing with the microphone how to use the mic for everybody because people are listening. So I had a person from Virginia text me saying, I'm praying for your congregation. I thought, thank you. I said, you know, why? It's like, well, I was listening to your teaching, and I heard last week a lot of coughing, a lot of people coughing, so there must be a lot of people sick. So I'm really praying for them. I said, well, I'm going to let them know. She goes, you do that. I said, so people are praying for you in different states. Isn't that cool as well? So anyway, thank you for using the mic. Make sure you do it, whoever has the mic. So now we are in the Word of God. We are going through verse by verse. We are in the book of Colossians. If you'd open your Bibles. What? Wait, what?
Microphone.
Oh. You do scream. Scream it, girl. Okay. That was probably, I'm supposed to remember something. Yeah, you do need the microphone. Take the microphone. You submit to the Word. Now, come on now. Don't be a rebel like your shirt. Thank you so much.
The kids at school are selling ice cream to raise money for our trip in the spring.
Okay.
And we would like to offer it to the congregation whenever you're here, say for the men's.
Good job, JoJo. Group. Right back there.
Right. So the ice cream is in the freezer in the right-hand side. And just if you take a bar, just put a dollar
in that little blue thing.
In the jug.
Okay.
That's it. So it's. We're encouraging you. We want you to buy the ice cream. Just put your dollar in the jug.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. Okay, there's a couple of hands up. Yes, if you need a Bible, Chris, would you mind bringing a few? If you need a Bible, raise your hand. George, you had something too?
Well, I just wanted to make a comment. That,
yeah, raise your hand if you need a Bible.
Because we're not using ambient mics anymore,
okay.
It's really important that we use the microphone or we won't hear you.
Okay, great.
When we put it on the web.
Okay,
gotcha. Would you use the mic?
Ah, I was thinking the same thing. Okay, good. All right. And who is going to be our mic? Okay, Joe's our mic runner. Okay. Awesome. All right. So we have, in chapter 3, we have been blazing through chapter 3 in the book of Colossians. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. I say that jokingly. We've got through the last, like, two verses in the last 2, 3, 4 weeks. Yes. Hold on a second. Thank you.
I remember when we started Colossians.
Yes.
And you said, well, we're going to spend maybe 4 or 5 weeks in Colossians.
I know. We spent 4 or 5 weeks in chapter 3. I got it.
And I'm sitting here looking at Gary, and he's looking at me, and we're laughing and going, no way, brother. It's going to be 4 or 5 months.
Okay. Well, maybe.
But it's been worth it, and it's been good every single week.
Praise God. Gosh. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen to that. All right. So we are in Colossians chapter 3. This is not our home. He's talking about putting off the sinful life. You remember that? Sexual impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, wrath, slander, filthy language, lying to one another, putting on the new life, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love, thankfulness, the peace of Christ, embracing the message of Christ, and all of that in Colossians chapter 3. We talked about forgiveness a few weeks ago and the importance of forgiveness and hoping the best and overlooking offenses and not being easily offended and having a spirit of humility and a heart of forgiveness and love. We talked about conflict and how to address conflict in Matthew 18. And we talked about, as far as it is within you, live at peace with everyone. And we talked also about how to, if you're the one that's repenting, how to address that. Last week we talked about the peace of Christ. And if somebody with a microphone can just read verse 15 and 16, I think that's what we did. So if somebody with a mic, just raise your hand. We'll drop a microphone. If somebody could read Colossians chapter 3, 15 and 16. Okay. And then...
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, yes, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts.
Yes. Now, you guys remember a lot of those things, you know, in the peace of God, talking about the salvation of God. You know, also talking about trusting in God in situations and decisions in our life. You know, we talked about a lot about the peace of God, and we talked about how that word rule, let the peace of God rule, which is brabuo in Greek, that means to be the decision maker in your life. It means to be the judge. It means to decide, to determine, to be the umpire. And the peace of God, if you're walking with the Lord, his peace to umpire your decisions that you're making. The word of God needs to be the first in when we're making decisions. But if we don't know what to do, the word of God doesn't address a specific situation, maybe it's a choice in a job, or let the peace of God rule in your heart. Okay? Umpire in your heart. Let it make the call. You know, you're out. You're going astray. You know, it was a strike. It was a foul ball. You know, you're foul here. You know, you're out of here. You know, whatever the case may be, you're safe with this decision. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. And then it goes on to say, as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. And then it says, let the word of Christ, you remember, it says, dwell in your hearts. And that means inokio. It means to inhabit, almost like the picture is like in the Old Testament in the tabernacle, and when Solomon dedicated the temple, and the Lord filled the temple, and now of course you know we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, okay? That God dwells in us, okay? And so, feeling at home, means to give, we talked about it. It means let the word of God feel at home in your heart. That means be comfortable there. That means be relaxed there. That means to have full reign of the house when you feel at home, right? You feel, I can use the restroom if I want. I can go have a sandwich. I can go in the fridge if I need to, wherever. That's how the word of God should be in your heart and your life. It should be so at home that it just comes out naturally. Do you know what I'm saying? Instead of the other stuff, which we all know, right? We built up for years until we got saved, letting that stuff come out of our mouths and lives. We need to be so filled with the word of God, it overflows and feels at home there. It's not a forced thing, right? Okay? So we need to be in the word of God for ourselves daily, okay? To inhabit, to feel at home in, okay? Now we're talking Colossians 3, 18 to 21. Sorry. The Lord's bringing back the last verse there said, let the word of God, enokio, dwell in your hearts. It says richly. And that Greek word does mean overflowing. So it's not let you just come on a Sunday. Do you know what I'm saying? Or you come on a Thursday, right? And you pick up some tips, right? God wants that word of God into you. Listen to teachings on the radio. I want you to, you know, open the word of God for yourself. Pray and ask the Lord to speak to you daily. Now, somebody else was asking me in a text from another state, well, how do you do this? How do you stay? Do you do it in the morning? Do you do it at night? Do it whenever you can. Do it in the morning so you start fresh with the word of God for the day. If you can't do that, do it at your lunch break. Take in a psalm at lunch or whatever. If you can listen to teachings, I will send everybody a link that's on my text prayer chain. If you're not on there, talk to me after service. And I'll send you a link where you can listen to audio teachings on any book of the Bible anytime you want, verse by verse. So you can be filled with the word of God whenever you want. You could go on a walk and listen to the word of God through download through your phone or your iPod, whatever. You could do it at night before you go to bed. Just get it in you. And not legalistically, right? Well, I have to do this to be a good Christian. No, you do it to know the King of the universe that has a plan for you, that has a purpose for you. That doesn't want you going the wrong way. He wants you to go his way. Does that make sense? It's not in a legalistic way. It's a relational way. When you spend time with somebody, you grow closer to them usually, don't you? Mm-hmm. Right? Isn't that true? Yes. It's the same with the Lord. You know what the Lord convicted me of? As this person was asking, Pastor, how do you stay so close to the Lord from another state? And I was thinking, the Lord convicted me, said, you know what? You're spending too much time. No, he didn't. I got to make sure I say this correctly. I'm spending a lot of time reading and studying to teach others, and those Bible studies are going well. So I was like, oh, great. But I'm feeling kind of distant from you, Lord. I don't understand. And he's like, because you're spending all your time reading and studying the word for others instead of just spending time with me. Oh. Right. Now, that's not a bad thing. Well, it is a bad thing, but he's telling me that because he wants me to get close with him again. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes. Oh, let me grab the microphone. Jojo, use your blinding speed faster than a, we'll call you speed racer. Thank you. Thank you.
Is this on? Can you hear me?
Yes, okay? We can.
I think we have to be careful. Sometimes we feel this compulsion that we've got to read a lot of the Bible.
Right.
When he's talking about richly, he's not talking about covering a lot of ground.
Right.
You know, and sometimes the pressure in teaching the word is, oh, I got to get to the next verse.
Yes.
I got to get to the end of this.
Yeah.
We got verse 18 to 21 right ahead of us.
Thanks,
I got to get wipe this off. Move ahead.
Yeah.
The idea of richly is to just wait a minute. Meditate.
Yeah.
Meditate on the word of the Lord day and night. Mm-hmm. Take some phrase and don't drop it. Don't move on till you get it.
Yeah.
We don't get it. We just move on to the next.
Yes.
And we think that this is the word of God abiding in me.
Right.
We have to be in it richly.
Yes.
Just stall, wait. And tomorrow, I got to get to the next verse, the next chapter. Mm-hmm. No, go back. Stay with this until it gets to you.
Yeah.
Until you start weeping or something gets to you. You know, we are in a big rush. And then we dwell, we see a movie or we hear a song and it goes singing over and over and over again in the head. the Word of God would, you know, it's good to go verse by verse mm-hmm. through the Bible, but hey, slow down. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get the verse.
Yes.
You know, when he's talking about singing the Word of God.
Oh, wait, no, you're going to hold up. Wait, we're not getting to that. Yes.
I'm messing you up.
You're good. You're good.
Hallelujah. I messed you up.
Good. That's all right. Go ahead. You can say it. Go ahead. No, go ahead. Say it.
Well, you know, and then it's singing the Word of God back to him. Mm-hmm. A hymn is back to God. Mm-hmm. A gospel song is to other people. Mm-hmm. And to really meditate on the wording. But I want you to say your
meditation. Okay, that's okay. That's a bad idea. But here's the thing. You know, what he's saying is exactly true. How about memorizing a verse? Why don't you cut off a scripture verse? Put it on your mirror if that's where you spend a lot of time. Maybe on the fridge if you're Italian like me. You know, maybe in your car dash. How about you're struggling with anger? Well, you know, how about that? Whatever it takes. Why do you think I send you those scripture verses on the texts? So remind you of what's true and good and praiseworthy. Get your mind thinking the right way, right? Continually before you. Chew on it. Why not memorize that? Every time you read the Word of God, you know, I joke around, hey, a chapter a day keeps the enemy at bay, two or more kicks him out of the door. But he is absolutely right. You know, you want to be in the Word. You want to chew on it. If that means you just go over a few verses to really understand, do that. Chew on it. Meditate on the Word. Chaw on it day and night, you know. Let it think about it. Doesn't mean like, oh, you know, whatever. It means to think about it and let it permeate your heart. That's what it's talking about. So memorize scripture. Every time you read the Word of God, listen, can I tell you something? Or you listen to a teaching? How about you pray? Remember the relationship and you ask the Lord. It's the Lord who teaches you. If I'm teaching you up here or Gary's teaching you or Tom or whoever, you don't want to come hear me. You want to come hear the Lord Jesus Christ. So you say, oh Lord, whether we pray it or not, will you please speak through Pastor Darren or Gary or Tom or Josh, whomever is teaching, or Josh, whoever is teaching, will you speak to them? Will you speak to me through them? Same thing when you read. Lord, will you speak to me personally? Draw scripture to my heart. And if you start doing that, you're going to find out that he's going to start doing that. Stuff will start jumping off a page maybe, or a verse will just stand out to you. Every time, pray and ask the Lord to teach you. If there's a teaching you're listening to, you know, ask him. Ask him, Lord, if there's anything this teacher has to say that's not of you, erase it from my mind. But anything that's of you for me, help to hide in my heart. Yes. Yes.
So are you saying that...
I am. No, I don't know.
We should have an expectation to hear from the Lord, and an expectation that he will do what he says?
Yeah, you know what? I would encourage you, should we have the expectation? Yes. Do we always have the expectation? No. What I'm saying to you is that when you come to the Word of God, when you come to a teaching, when you come to a Bible study, when you come to hear Sunday, I want you to pray and ask God to say, God, I'm coming to hear you. Will you speak? To have that expectation, like you're saying, and to ask him to personally to do it for you. And I'll tell you, if you start expecting him to speak, you're going to be like, wow, he really is doing something here. It's an exciting thing. That's the Holy Spirit.
The danger of teaching, and from my own experience, having to teach, preach so many times, is I became numb mm-hmm. to letting the Word of God speak to me.
Yeah, I was always thinking now, how does this apply to brother so-and-so?
Yes.
How does this get to that brother in the church that's giving me a hard time?
Yes.
How does this deal with, you know, your kids or your parents? And the Bible warns, after you've preached to others, you yourself become a castaway.
Yes.
And you have great teachers and preachers who get really messed up because they don't meditate on the Word of God richly on, how does this work with me?
Yes.
And teaching is such a danger
spiritually.
Yes. It's hard
that
you stop preaching to yourself.
Yes, that's correct.
Not that you do that. I mean,
no, I receive it, but it's very true. It could easily happen to me or to anybody. I'll tell you honestly, and maybe I'm telling you too much here, but you know, some of the most ungodly people I know are pastors. Isn't that terrible?
No.
That should be the opposite, shouldn't it? But we're all susceptible, and you said not you, and I appreciate you saying that. But it could happen to all of us. It could happen to me, right? So when we come, don't do it for so-and-so. Do it for, Lord, will you speak to me every time? Oh, we're going to talk about submission. Oh, I can't. I'm going to make sure my wife is there. No. chances are, if you're thinking that, you've got the issue. God needs to speak to you about some things. Get it? Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I was just thinking as he was talking about like preparing, you know, reading for other people, that it's not just for pastors because we all have a sphere to reach,
yeah,
whoever God puts in our lives. But I think like as a parent, you know, almost all of us are in a family of some sort. But, you know, when it's the same thing. So when I'm reading, I'm like, oh, yeah, I really need to, you know, reach the heart of this person.
Yeah.
They really need to hear this. It's so easy. That's one of, like, the ways Satan can let us, like, you can go ahead and read the Bible, but it's always about other people. And then we don't get it for ourselves. But I noticed that when people that I know that usually very humble people, when they just spend time in the Word for themselves, most of those people aren't pastors or anything. That's not a bad – I think you're humble. Sorry.
Thank
you. It just flows out of them because, like, you know, the Holy Spirit fills them up, and then it naturally goes in other people without them having to, like, focus on, all right, Lord, I need you to tell me what to tell that person.
Yeah.
It's like it puts so much light inside of you that it naturally comes out to everybody around you. But when we're just trying to put light in other people, it's like we get dark ourselves, and that's, like, the worst kind of Christian is the that knows the Bible and talks it nonstop but doesn't live it.
Oh yeah,
it's horrible.
It's pride. It stinks. Yeah, and so you know, and even as we talk about this, you know, as we're going to talk about, Lord willing, these three verses, or whatever, 18, 19, 20, 21, four verses. Okay, you know, the thing is, what I want to mention first is, you know, we're going to talk about husbands and wives and children and workers and so on and so forth. But even if we just get to the family stuff, it's all centered around the gospel. You know, I think of Adam and Eve, you know, and I think how, you know, it says in the Bible that, you know, Eve was deceived, right? And she took the fruit, right? Satan tricked her. She was deceived and she took that, right? They used to have a great relationship. The Lord would come and walk with them, right? And they were so close and intimate right in the garden. And it says that Adam, the men did worse, okay? The women were deceived. The men just blindly stood by there, and you're like, yeah, let me abdicate authority. Okay, if you think you should do it, go ahead. I will. Yeah, that's okay. I'm just going to sit by and willfully allow you to sin and do it myself. So men have a bigger responsibility. But what happened is that severed the relationship, right? It severed it. And that's a life-altering difference. And that's almost like passed down DNA. So right now, the Bible says, listen, we are all separated from that intimate relationship with God. We're separated not only here, but also in eternity, for eternity. There's a heaven and a hell, okay? That's what the Bible talks about. And without that reconnection, right, with the Lord, without being born again by the Holy Spirit of God, it's not only that we don't have that right relationship here on earth, but that's going to continue forever. There is a heaven, there is a hell, regardless of what anybody tells you. That's what the Lord says. And you know what? God doesn't want to see anyone go there. It says it's his will that none should perish and all should come to repentance. So he wants to reestablish that connection. So the bad news is we've all got that. Where Amy Amster is a wonderful person, and I know what her heart was trying to say. She said one thing. She said that, you know, about her dad. It was a terrible, terrible, anyway, story. But she said, you know, he doesn't deserve hell. Well, here's the thing. We all are separated from him. We all deserve hell. We've all gone our own way, right? We've all gone astray. But what she is meaning to say is, even though he was such a terrible person, hell is so terrible, we shouldn't want anyone to go there, even our worst enemy. Right? And so God is trying. So that's the bad news, is we're separated. The good news is God wants to reconnect us.
Amen.
You're not automatically a Christian because your grandma's a Christian or your mom's a Christian. It's personal. So that's what the gospel's for. And here's what it is, just really quickly, because I think about, you know, husband, wife. I would have made, I hear a lot of people said really nice things about me, and I appreciate that. But, you know, even just like as a husband, you know, you can ask my wife personally, quietly, privately, if I'm what kind of a husband I am. I'm okay with that. And she'll tell you. And my confidence isn't in me, because I can be a knucklehead sometimes, but it's in the Lord. And he has made me a good husband. Now, can I tell you? And a lot of you have a lot of respect for me, but let me tell you, if it wasn't for Christ living in me, what? I would not be a good husband. I probably wouldn't be a husband certainly not a good one. And that's the best thing I can say about it. It would not be a good. And a dad, you can ask my kids, is your dad, what do you think about your dad? You can ask them privately. I'm okay with that. Is your dad, what do you, you know what? He's made me, it's a supernatural thing. So the neat thing is, let's just say you're going the wrong direction right now. You're not a good friend. You're not a good parent. You're not a good spouse. You're not good material. Whatever you want to say, the Holy Spirit, as that connection is reestablished, will make that true in your life. Will rid you of those things from the inside out so that you can be a good husband, a good wife, a good dad, a good child, a good worker, a good manager, whatever the case may be. That's Christ, right? So that's the gospel. We need him. God created us to be with him. Our sin separates us from the holy God. That relationship's broken. We all sin, every single one of us. You do wrong stuff. You think wrong stuff. It's broken. That fellowship isn't there anymore. And our sins can't be removed by good work. You can go to church every week. That's not going to do it. There's such a gap there between a holy God and our sin that all your good works just don't measure up. Paying the price for our sin, Jesus died on the cross and rose again. He paid the price. He bridged that gap. That cross is like a bridge, right? From our sinful self over to God's holiness. It's Christ, the blood of Christ, that bridge, that cross. Does that make sense? And then everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. And I even struggled with this word. Everyone who believes in him alone has eternal life, or trust. And I had a struggle with that, but I think I went with trust. And here's why. Okay, the Bible does say that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. But now we've got it to where, oh, I believe in Jesus. I just live however I want. What? Oh, yeah, I do. I believe in Jesus. I'm going to go to heaven, but I just want to do what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? Little partying, little party. You know what I'm saying? I just want to live how I want to live. Well, that's not. Believing in Jesus means trusting in him. Right? In his word, in his heart, in his purposes. So the believing encompasses trusting. Does that make sense, folks?
James says.
Yes.
You know, faith without works is a dead faith.
Yes.
So if you really believe, but there's a faith belief, Satan believes.
Yes. Even the demons believe and tremble.
It's more than trusting. It's actually being a doer of what you know. Mm-hmm. It's a living faith. Some people get all messed up with James because of the works.
Yeah.
It's a kind of belief.
Yes.
Is what you're talking
yes.
about.
Yes, and it's not faith or works, it's faith that works. As you trust in him, those works will become apparent in your life. Those attitudes, those characters will change. And then life. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's turn on the lights. Let's read this scripture together. Would somebody volunteer to read for us Rules for Christian Living? And verses 18 to, let's say, 21. Would someone raise your hand, please? And then JoJo will, okay, thanks. Bring the mic to you. 18 to 21.
Is it on? Wives, yield to the authority of the husbands, because this is a right thing to do in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be gentle with them. Children, obey your parents in all things, because this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not nag your children. If you are too hard to please, they may want to stop trying.
Okay, good. You stop there. Now, we all have different translations, but we're going to go through this. The first thing it says in verse 18, what is wives submit to your husbands, right? So I think we don't need any explanation there. Let's just move on. No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking. See, that's good, though. You want all of the Word of God, don't you? So let's talk about this for a minute without my notes and trust in the Lord. Okay. Wives says, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. So let's take that first part. Wives, submit to your husbands. I want you to notice, girls, here's what it doesn't say. Or folks, this is what it doesn't say. I'll talk to the men, too. It does not say, girlfriends, submit to your boyfriends. It does not say, it does not say women submit to men, okay? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say even wives submit to husbands, right? It says, wives submit to your husbands, okay? Because there's a picture here that the Lord is trying to create. It's not subservient in spirituality, but there's different roles that God has us to play, okay? Sorry, give me just a second. So it does not say women submit to men. Spiritually speaking, this is from Galatians 3, verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So what it's talking about in context of Galatians is spiritually speaking, when you come to the cross, when you're born again, look, you are all equal in Christ. You're all sinners. You're all in need of a Savior, right? There is no male or female. Does that make sense? We all come to Christ on the exact same terms. Men, you're no better. You're no different. Whatever. We're all at the same place. Does that make sense? Okay? Good. Let's start there. Now, as a people, that is not something Americans like to hear. We need to submit to anything. Okay? Let me just be blunt honest. There are different personalities, okay? There are some people that are more submissive than others. If you have children, we have different children. I will say that some of them are more submissive, more compliant, naturally, however you want to say it, than other children, okay? So you might be on the one side of the spectrum or the other. I'm on the other side of the spectrum. I'm not very submissive by my human nature, probably just the opposite. Okay? Now, but as a Christian, God wants us to be generally submissive people. Okay? Now, think about this. Now, here's what I'm saying. Now, if you were here a couple weeks ago, being submissive doesn't mean you're weak. It's strength under control. You guys were here when I shared the story about Chuck Norris, right? And he went into that, you know, he's a six-time world karate champ, and he tried to take the... he sat down and some guy came in, one of the local yokels came in and said, "You're in my seat." And Chuck Norris said, the six-time world karate champ, said, "Okay, I'm so sorry. Why don't you take it?" And got it. And his friend was like, "You could have tore this guy apart. Why didn't you do it?" And he said, "There's no need to prove that. What does that prove? I'll be meek." So meekness, what? Oh, yeah, he did threaten him. Like he was going to kick his butt. It would be. But you know what? If you know you got it, you don't need to show it. It takes more strength to walk away from that, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, that's meekness. That's strength under control. When you have the power of Christ living in you, you can do things that the culture is going to tell you can't do. So the world says, don't submit to anybody. But the Bible says this. It shows submission. You know, it shows submission even to the Father, right? It says Christ obeyed in everything, right? To please the Father. So here you have Emmanuel, God with us, the person of Jesus Christ submitting to the Father in everything as an example for us, right? Now, I wouldn't call Jesus a wimp, would you? Whipped, nailed to a cross, you know, see what I'm saying? Yet, I remember him telling Peter, what? When they came to capture him, they cut off the ear of one of the servants, Malchus. He said, "Peter, don't you know I could call down armies of angels, legions of angels right now, obliterate these guys?" But it needs to happen. That's meekness. That's power under control. So
it's really controlling your vanity, because the reason we do stuff is our egos hit. And
hold on 1 second. Thank you. Sorry. Yeah. All right. Jinx. Yeah, Joe.
Yeah. What,
maybe you should sit there.
What we're fighting is our vanity. You know, we think I've got to prove myself. I've got to keep my glory. Yeah. I'm going to lose this. You know, a man's sense of, I don't know about women, but for a man's sense of his own, more than ego, it's this vain thing we have. And Jesus didn't have it.
Yeah.
He was humble and meek.
Yes.
And the opposite of meekness is this need to show off and prove what you can do, you know, controlling your strength. But we have this drive in our vanity. In the Bible, there's so much about vanity.
Yes.
And Weak meekness is the fruit of the Spirit that just deletes your vanity, which is a lifetime struggle.
And meekness is not weakness. Again, it's strength under control. You know the reason why people do that? You know why? Because they're insecure. They're really weak. That's why they overcompensate. But that's a story for another time. So the Bible says, as Christians, okay, because I want us to know, it says, as Christians, men and women, James 4:7 says to submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Flee from you. So we're to be submissive to the Lord, okay? When it talks about authority, it says remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. Let me tell you, that means whether you like this president or the last president, we're to submit to them as long as they're not asking us to do anything that is ungodly or against what the word says. We're to submit to them, right? They should be obedient and always ready to do good. Titus 3:1. 1 Peter 2:13, it says, for the Lord's sake, I want you to submit to all human authority. That means at your school, at your work, whether kings or head of state or officials he's appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. 1 Peter 2:13 and 14. Okay? Hebrews 13:17, have confidence in your leaders. How about even your pastors? If I have to ask you to do something, I almost never want to ask you to do something. If I do have to ask you to do something, can I just encourage you just to do it? Because it's probably taken an awful lot if you have me to ask you to do something. And so if I ever do, and most of you I have never even had to do that because I don't like it. But if I do, there's a reason for it. But it says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no benefit to you. So submit to your leaders unless your leaders are asking you to do something ungodly. And I've seen leaders do that. Okay? So hopefully you will never have that here. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to those who are older, to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Okay, so you get it, right? Now, before it says, like in the parallel verse in Ephesians, where it says, wives, submit to your husbands, you know what it says? It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's how a husband and wife should be, right? Submitting to one another, preferring one another's needs ahead of their own. Right? That's going to create an atmosphere where you're both going to grow in the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Brother Darren, I like tying in with that. It just popped into my mind, that verse in Peter that tells a husband to live with his wife according to understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Understand all her needs, all her feelings. Mm-hmm. The biggest problem we men have is our insensitivity and walking all over. You know, but talk about submission to... having to, a woman is not told to live with her husband according to understanding,
mm-hmm.
because she naturally does,
yeah.
I think. But a man, it's really a hard struggle. But to be sensitive, to not do something that's going to alienate her because you understand her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more than submission.
Agreed. So here we are. Ladies, here's what that means to you, okay? I am not a doormat. Okay? Listen, the Lord has made you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You never forget that. You are His, and you are His under His authority, first and foremost. Does that make sense? So if your husband, believing or unbeliever, ever asks you to do something, okay, we're to be submissive. And again, not just because you want to, but because the Lord, it honors the Lord. But here's the thing. If your husband asks you to do something that's wrong in the Lord, okay, you can say no. If your husband, I'm going to give you a couple four examples just so that you have something to go on, okay? Because I've watched a lot of husbands use this verse to manipulate women. To beat them down. It's kind of sick. It is sick. I'm just being honest with you. Okay? So for example, and if you want to blame somebody, you can blame the pastor and he'll come after me and I'll work out on that, the details on that later. But here's the thing. So let's just say, okay, the Bible says to flee from sexual immorality. Okay, let's say your husband says, well, you need to submit to me and we're going to watch pornography. Well, you know that's not right in the Lord. So you can say, you know, honey, no, the Bible doesn't doesn't say, I'm not going to do that. Well, I don't think you should be going to church. I think you're going to too many church, too much Bible study. I don't like it. Because I want you to, you know, serve me, spend time with me instead. Okay, honey, the Bible says that, you know, do not give up meeting together as some in the habit of doing. And it says that we're supposed to fellowship as Christians, so I'm going to go to church anyway. Well, you need to stop reading that Bible all the time. Okay, well, the Bible says, the Word of Christ is, honey, I love you. The Word of Christ is going to be dwelling you richly, so that's going to continue to happen. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Well, my husband wants me to lie for him. Well, the Lord hates lying lips and delights in those who are truthful. So even though you submit to your husband, he's asking you to do something that's ungodly, and you're in submission first and foremost to the Lord. Amen. Does that make sense? Amen. Honey, I love you very much. I hear what you're saying. I respect that, but I can't lie. I'm sorry. So, you know, how do we submit? Here's a little something that I came up with, okay? If you read the rest of that verse, it says, wives, submit to your husbands, right? Not popular, but he's trying to show the world something different. Because, ladies, you don't want to submit to your husbands. I want to do my own thing. Well, maybe you do. Some of you do. I want to go my own way. I want to do my own thing. That's what the world will tell you, right? But God's saying, I want to show something different. And if you submit as is fitting to the Lord, and there's three ways that people will take this, okay? The first, the one... People like to sometimes, guys, take the scripture and twist it in a way that works out good for them. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? That's why we try to teach you the whole counsel of God, so that doesn't happen. So when it says, as is fitting to the Lord, one interpretation focuses on the husbands, okay? In other words, the husbands, and it's usually, here's what it usually is. It's usually a legalistic, controlling man that will manipulate the scripture in this way. Okay? And if it's that, if that's you, if I'm hitting a nerve right here, then you know what you can do? You can ask the Lord to forgive you and to help change your heart. But that's the bottom line. Usually it's the legalistic, controlling, manipulative man that does this. He focuses on the husband. He thinks, as is fitting to the Lord, defines the extent of submission. In other words, you're to submit to me just as you would submit to the Lord. So if I say to do anything, you need to do it just as you would to the Lord. You laugh, but there are a lot of women who have been beat down trying to love the Lord. They've been warped and twisted and beat down to do things that they shouldn't be doing, because some controlling, manipulative man is focused on this verse. It's sick. So I'm just going to say it. Okay? Now, there's another one. And of course, we all know that's not submission. That's not how a person... So the next one focuses on the wives. And as is fitting to the Lord, it focuses not on the extent like the husband, but they're twisted. It's the limit of submission. And this is kind of what it turns into. Okay, as is fitting to the Lord means, well, if I think that he's doing the right thing in the Lord, well, then I'll obey it. So if the husband said, okay, honey, I really think that we're supposed to, you know, we need a new truck, the truck's, you know, well, I'm not going along with that. I don't think that's the Lord's will. Okay, honey, but I really prayed about it, and I'm seeking the Lord, and I don't think that's of the Lord, so we're not going to do that. You're not taking any of my money. See what I'm saying? And then it comes down, the focus is on the wives and the limit of submission. It really basically comes down to if the wife wants to. Do you see what I'm saying? And that is that submission at all? The real translation, the real focus here, one focuses on the husband, one focuses on the wives, and then one focuses on the Lord. And that's the motive of submission. Do you understand? And so when it says, wives submit to you as is fitting to the Lord, it's saying the motive of it, as it honors the Lord. Does that make sense? And so even in Scripture, you will find godly men and godly women who have said no to things. Okay? Do you remember this? Hebrews 11:23. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. There was a law that said they couldn't have these children, right? The male childs, right? They were supposed to be thrown, killed, right? They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. wait, I thought we were supposed to submit to all authority. Yes. But again, in the Lord, as is fitting to the Lord. Okay, what about this? You guys remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They were supposed to bow down before the king and this altar that he made, right? This wasn't an altar. It was actually a golden image of himself. And it says this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. He even threatened them. He said, I'm going to throw you into the furnace and burn you alive if you don't submit to me. And he says, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he doesn't, Daniel 3, 17 to 18 says, even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image that you have set up. Okay? So we are supposed to be submissive. Does that seem like a weak person to you? And you remember in the book of Acts when they had him and they beat him, the apostles, right? And then Peter and the apostles answered and they said, hey, if you don't do this, we're going to continue to beat you and kill you. And he says, hey, you choose for yourself. We must obey God rather than man. Acts 5:29. Does that make sense? Okay, microphone. Oh, you got it. Good.
Submission is a will of the heart. And you can obey someone and not be submissive. So if you're grumbling and you're talking about them, you're not really submitting. And that was the difference. Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego,
yeah.
They knew the consequences. And they knew there would be consequences by not submitting or not obeying what the king said. Yeah. But they chose to submit to the Lord.
Yes.
So they did not fight against the consequences.
Yes.
They knew what they were going to be, and they were ready to take them.
Yes.
And we as wives, by no means do I, I'm not, you know, the best for this, but, you know, it's hard. It was very hard for years to submit to my husband when I felt like he was making the wrong choices.
Yeah.
And so I would stand up against that because I didn't want to pay pay those consequences if he made the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. But if we trust the Lord and we submit to our husbands, then the Lord will protect us. Yeah, we may have to go through things, and I've had to go through things, but he gave me peace to go through those things, and he gave me the ability to go through those things.
Now, I feel like I almost have to say this, okay? First, this tells me two things. Wives, women, girls, if you're here today, how important it is that, first, you become a godly woman, but secondly, that you choose to marry a godly man. Other than your salvation, I'll tell you, it's the second biggest decision you'll ever make in your whole entire life. You better make sure that this man who's so cute and so nice, you make sure that he loves the Lord. Because listen, if he loves the Lord, we're going to get to his part in a second, which is harder. He's going to love you in a God-honoring way, in a self-sacrificial way, not thinking of his needs first. So you better make sure that this man honors the Lord. Does that make sense? And listen, if you're getting abused, or you get out of there. Somebody, and when I say now you got to almost define abuse. Somebody's beating on you, or whatever. Come talk to the church elders. See Gary, see me, whatever. It's, whatever. Just talk to us. You know, some of the mature men in the church. Talk to us. We'll help you get out. Nobody's supposed to be beat down and you know, hurt and physically abused and things like that. That's ungodly, okay? We will help you separate and hopefully work on him or work on you. But anyway, so
Pastor, two more things.
I want to say one other thing. No, you guys are going to have to wait a minute now.
Okay.
Submit. No, just kidding. I also want to say this, too. If you're a husband and you're having to tell your wife to submit all the time, okay, here's the deal. There might be something wrong. My wife doesn't submit all. She doesn't submit to me. You know what? Maybe, really, that might be an issue that God has to deal with because that isn't right in the Lord. But maybe she's not submitting to you because you're not a godly man. Maybe you're helping to cause that sin in her. No wife desires to be in a submission, be in submission to a man who isn't submissive to God. Now, I'm probably offending everybody. So now, you know, we're going to move on to the husbands really quickly. Hold on a second. Give me 1 minute. Give me 1 minute, and then you guys can say, I promise you can all talk and say what you need to say. Wives, it says, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Okay, so, and here's the thing for this, for whatever it's worth. You know, as in the Bible, the Lord tells us as Christians that we're supposed to be loving. Okay, loving as a Christian, love is supposed to overarch everything. Isn't that true? Okay, so here's the thing. Okay? It says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Okay? This is what he says in John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Okay? So we're to be a loving people. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. They're to see that love from us, right? Now, there's four types of love, okay, in the Bible. Storge, which is affection of love between family members in the Greek. Philia, which is friendship, that's love between friends. Eros, that's kind of the erotic love, like romantic love between, I don't even know, it's a romantic, but anyway, love between a married couple. And then there's agape love, and that's unconditional love. And that says it's an unconditional love that gives and serves selflessly, even when rejected, and demands nothing in return. Think about that for a second. It's an unconditional love that serves others selflessly, and when rejected, demands nothing in return. I say that because this is important. When it says, husbands, love your wife, the word it's using is agapeo. So what it's saying is, husbands, I want you to love your wives in a self-sacrificial way. In a way, not because you're weak, but I'm going to lead this family by serving my wife. So that means, well, I had a hard day at work. I need to sit down. You need to just serve me and do this, do that. Can I just be blunt, honest with you? You lazy, self-centered man. You get off your butt and you serve your wife and your kids. When you get home, you start your second job. You man up and you serve your wife. If that means, I got the baby, honey, I can't take it anymore. Honey, I've been at work for 8 hours. I've been ripping out my hair for 8 hours. You man up and you serve your wife. That means you take the baby for a while. If that means that there's dishes in the sink, well, I don't do, get up, go do the dishes. If that means your wife maybe needs a little massage, a little shoulder massage or neck massage, you massage. You serve her. And you do it selflessly. You do it expecting nothing in return. Because sometimes this is what I can do as a husband, okay? I'm like such a good servant, right? So now I'm expecting her to be like, oh, Dad, you're such an amazing servant. You did the dishes and you took care of the kids. Ah, you cleaned the this and you did the laundry too. Aren't you amazing? Well, honey, it was nothing. Just showing agape love. Now, can I just be honest? That doesn't always happen. And so what can happen is Pastor Darren, this great, cool man of God, well, you're not thanking me like I should have. And I think you should be a little bit more appreciative of all that I'm doing. And so I get a little resentful. And maybe I'm not going to talk to her. Maybe I'm not going to be as nice. Now, is that agape love? Absolutely not. And the Lord says, Darren, guess who's wrong here? You got the wrong heart attitude. You're not loving her in the way she's supposed to be loved. A leader is going to serve. Jesus came not to be served, right? But to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. In the book of Mark, and I think chapter 8 or 10, he says, I don't want you to lead like the others lead and lord it over them. So as a husband, as a leader of your household, or even as a man or whatever, I want you to serve others, to be a blessing to them. Now, Heidi, can I ask you a question? Maybe I shouldn't because you're married to Joel. let me ask somebody who is not married. Okay, Punky. Yeah, okay. Think about this. If there was a guy, okay, if there was a man who loved you and he's putting your interests ahead of his own, if he's loving you and he's serving you and he's looking out for the Lord's interests, If he's saying, you know, if he's focused on God first and he's loving you and putting his needs, putting your needs ahead of your own, well, let me ask you a question. Would it be really as difficult to submit to that type of a man, knowing that he loved you self-sacrificially, knowing that he's serving you selflessly? Wouldn't it be a lot easier to put yourself into submission to a godly man? I think so. Okay, some questions. There's more to go on this. No, the Lord's telling me to stop for a second. We'll go in a minute. Okay, but I know there were some questions. I have a few more things to go over real quickly. But go ahead. Yes, some. Mike. Okay, go ahead.
It doesn't mean that, you know, God gives us wisdom, too, if we're seeking the Lord.
Yes.
So it doesn't mean that we can't share if the Lord's giving us something. So being submissive is also just telling your husband or letting him know what maybe the Lord's placed on your heart or what your thoughts
are.
But then relinquishing it to him and not beating him down that, oh, it's the wrong decision
or giving him the cold shoulder.
Right.
Yes.
Now I told you so.
Yes.
And the whole thing is not, we're not a weaker, we're not as strong as men. God didn't put us above them, but we're not weaker. We're not beneath them.
I know what you're trying to say. Listen, I've known, you know, when it says that, for example, that wives submit to your husband, it means the word in Greek means to put in rank. It's almost like a military term. Like I've known privates, I've known sergeants, lieutenants, colonels, generals. And can I be honest with you? Sometimes the ones with the less rank were smarter than the general, more capable than the colonel. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's not talking about that, but there's an order to things.
We're not less than them.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So, but there are different roles, okay, that we're supposed to have. Now, I will also say, you, being a godly woman, if you believe he's going the wrong way, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Bitter are the kiss of an enemy. If you're a godly woman, you're going to speak the truth in love. Because you love, honey, I'm feeling this is the wrong way. You know, and if he's a godly man, he's going to stop and, you know, I was trying to do the right thing. Well, maybe I better pray again. Maybe I better listen. If he's a godly man, he's going to really stop and think and pray about that. And I think not only should I do that, you absolutely 100% should. Now, I actually had a pastor tell me this, again, very sick, because I disagreed with him, okay, that I was rebelling and not submitting to authority. I said, what? I said, if in a husband and wife relationship, and I said, so you're telling me if the husband's going the wrong way and the wife tells him, honey, I love you, I'll submit to it, but I'm telling you, you're going the wrong way. This is going to damage, I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. Yeah, she's not submitting to authority. She has to be on board in her heart. I said, dude, that's not submission at all. If you have to, you know what I'm trying to say? That's weird. That's wacky, controlling, manipulative stuff. Okay? So yes, you absolutely do that. And you do it, and you, in fact, then you're clean before the Lord. And you know who's going to get knocked first, to be blunt honest? The husband is. Yes, okay, some hands over here raised. Keep 17 pages of notes out the window.
Yeah, Darren, this is probably a passage that you're going to go into next week, but Ephesians 5 has a parallel passage, and I think it's the standard for men. I mean, in verse 22, it says, wives, submit to your husbands. But in verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Yep. Well, if I recall correctly, that ended up at the cross. Now, it's easy for me to say I'm willing to take a bullet for Mary Kate. It's a little tougher when she wants my attention to the fourth quarter of a Thai football game.
I appreciate the honesty. Even if it's a Packers. Yes, you know what? It says, listen, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Husbands, if Jesus gave himself up, died for her. You know what? You are to do that daily. Take up your cross daily to show her Christ Jesus. Right? You're the man in the relationship. You're the leader. You show her servitude. You show her self-sacrifice. So that she could be all that she could be in the Lord. That's a man. Okay, some other things. Yes, back in the back. little faster there. Thank you. That's all right. Eye of the tiger. Just sing, Carl. What now? Okay.
Back to your military example. A good leader, well, in most cases, will ask the opinion and the guidance of those under them.
If he's wise at all.
If he's wise at all, and therefore communication is a very important aspect in any relationship.
Yes. You know, a lot of times I've watched wives more capable than their husbands. They're smarter than their husbands. They're more discerning than their husbands. You know, why did God give us this? I don't know. But we better do it. We have the role. So you better be asking them. Absolutely. I very much value my wife's opinion. All the time I ask. I seek counsel. We talk about stuff. Now, there might be times where I have to say, as a leader, this is the way I think the Lord has to go. But those will be few and far between. Yes. Anybody else? I heard other people earlier. I don't know. Okay, Jim, I can't believe you have something to say. It's okay. You're good. Keep going.
You know I have a big mouth.
That's okay. You're good. It's good stuff.
A couple things I came to my mind. Number one, the Bible never says any place for a man or a husband to put his wife into submission.
Absolutely.
Only to love her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And secondly, the dumbest man in all of history.
Hey, you don't need to talk about me personally.
No, confession is good for the soul, but very bad on your reputation. Is Pontius Pilate. You know, Pontius Pilate's wife came to him and said, you know, don't have anything to do with this man. And stupidly, he ignored his wife's advice. Look what he did. He ended up with all this guilt that he couldn't wash away with how much water he wanted to wash his hands with, and was banished and died in shame and gall. And then one more thing is that verse, what I really started out to say, I like that verse in Hebrews, it talks about, you know, Sarah was so submissive to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to remember, you know, when Abraham and Sarah took a little vacation to their Florida, and the king there, Gerar, got the hots for his wife, he was quite a weak man.
Yeah.
Where's this man of great faith?
Yes.
And, you know, he's saying, oh, she's my sister. You know,
yeah.
Kind of a wimp, is he?
Yeah.
And so the king, and the interesting thing is, though, who has the real faith here?
Yeah.
Sarah.
Yes.
Sarah goes.
Yeah.
Quietly,
yeah.
Not wanting to shame her husband,
yeah.
Trusting God to protect her from these vile men,
yeah.
These pagan men that her husband won't stand up to. You know,
knucklehead.
For me, if he was eyeballing my wife,
yeah.
You know, whatever come, I would have, like, cleaned him out.
Yeah.
Tried to. I don't know how big the guy was.
Yeah.
But, no, he wimps, and then Sarah's protected.
Yeah.
Everybody gets sick.
Yeah.
And the king comes, what are you doing? You know, so Abraham ends up in shame. I think there's some great lessons to everything you've been saying.
Absolutely. Yep, good word. You know, it says, I love this in the New Living Translation, for husband, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. That's how we're to love our wives. And it says to make her clean, make her holy and clean, washing her by the cleansing of God's word. We're to be that example to them. And then it's going to talk about next. Oh, let me see. Hold on one second. And likewise, it says, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the wife. I know we're already, okay, we're not going to go any further to the kids. So on the positive, and then you know what? It's going to say, children, obey your parents is the next verse, which we're not going to get into because we've already gone over. But it's going to say to obey your parents, for it's pleasing to the Lord. And the thing is, hey, listen, if you've got a husband that's submitting unto the Lord and obeying the Lord, and a wife that's submitting to the Lord and to her husband, well, then the natural result of that, or the supernaturally natural result of that, you're going to have kids that are going to be primarily obedient to their parents. Now, we're all going to rebel, right? Because we're all sinners. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Right? It's human nature, right. But you have it modeled for your kids. Now, I'm going to say something else. Now, this is not meant to hurt anybody, okay? And remember, I don't have any of my notes, okay? So it's much nicer. It would have been all much nicer. But the Lord had a purpose for this. So I've watched, if you're an unsubmissive dad to the Lord, or you're an unsubmissive wife, and that's just who you are to your husband, whatever, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have unsubmissive, rebellious kids. Because you have patterned it for them. You wonder why they're rebellious? It's because, in a sense, you have modeled that rebellion for them. They see it happening in front of their eyes. Oh, yeah, you love Jesus, you go to church, but you don't really submit to the Lord. You're not really obedient when it's hard. They're seeing that. And right now, if you're thinking of the other person, you better stop in your tracks because the Lord is speaking to you. Now, I happen to look at a couple people right when I do that because I'm just looking at everybody. I'm not purposely pointing it out. Does that make sense, guys? We need more models. We don't need any more, I'm a model. You know, we need more models in Christ. But that only happens through loving and obeying the Lord and watching the overflow of that spill over onto others. Does that make sense? One last thing I'm thinking of. Being a godly leader for you men is not, and serving your wife in that way, I have to almost say this, just that does not mean you give your wife everything she ever wants. Because even if you have a godly wife, right, she gets fleshed out too. Mine does. And sometimes in the emotion of the moment, okay, honey, whatever. That's what Adam did. Sometimes you need to, again, make sure you're looking out. That means you take the heat. When you take the heat, say no sometimes. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Okay, yes, as Deline, I see your hand up, so we're going to run a mic to you. And then we'll close out in prayer if there's nothing else.
Boy. I just want to say that women are not furniture. Because around the world, yeah, women are being abused by their husbands. Uh-huh. And even sold for other things.
Yes, absolutely right.
And that women are there for, yeah, for many things, even for support for their husbands as well. Yes.
Absolutely. That's a good word. And I think, you know what? That's a beautiful word. Go ahead. You can do it too, Jim.
Yes. Okay. I think that often when this subject is taught, it's taught in the manner as you're doing it, that there's this caveat against men, you know, subjugating their wives, and we focus on that. But what's really more ubiquitous in our society is that the opposite, that man has abdicated his place. Mm-hmm. And it really goes back to what you mentioned in the beginning to Genesis. Mm-hmm. And I find that everything comes from Genesis. And Genesis has the truth, right, of the way our lives, mm-hmm, are played out. And man abdicated his position.
Yeah.
And we see that. That's really the situation we see in families today, is that man has abdicated his place, and that puts an incredible burden, yeah, on the woman. And that's a form of abuse as well, mm-hmm, where the woman is forced, mm-hmm, into the, mm-hmm, leadership role. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to point that out.
I see both. Yeah, I think that's both. Okay, anybody else before we... Okay, we have a couple more. Okay, go ahead. I want to make sure everybody... I said everybody would have a chance to speak, so... And if you have any questions or if something here doesn't make sense to you, please see me afterwards. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I've heard this mistaught and thrown in people's faces before, and I've not been a wife. You're going to get to me next week, bondservants, okay, obey. But all the way to the end, I mean, Paul couches all this in verses 12 to 17. You know, this is how you're to act. Here's the practical application of,
yes,
it. Here's what I want you to do with this.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Anybody else? Okay, one more up here. Oh, two more? Okay. While we're passing the microwave, yeah, when it says, again, submission, that's, again, hupotazo. That it does mean, just so you know, it means a voluntary thing. You're never to force that submission. Okay, anyway, keep going.
Something that men should never do, again, never do, and that's keep score. well, I did this, and I did this, and I did that, and all this and that and the other kind of stuff, and say, well, now it's your turn. Marriage is not a 50-50 deal. It's a 100%, 100% deal.
Yeah.
If we hold anything back, then we're giving the enemy a foothold.
Right. And we work as the deal is we work as unto the Lord.
As unto the Lord. And in Genesis, it says that when God created Eve, he gave Adam a corresponding mate, which means different from but equal to. One is not more important than the other. Each one has their own characteristics, which are God-given, and one is not more important than the other. Men are not more important than women, absolutely, and women are not more important than men.
That's right. Okay, good. Last word, and then I'll close out with the word and prayer. Okay? Thanks, buddy.
Another thing that we should try to avoid is to not value one another more than the Lord, because sometimes we could get distracted. I mean, it's good to love on your husbands or your wives, you know, but we got to also make sure that we're not viewing them as a god either.
Mm.
So we're not putting them up as an idol. Like, it's good to love them, but we got to also focus our minds on loving on the Lord too.
Powerful. Right on. And I'm going to leave you, this was his last words, it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. You know, and I want to leave you this with this, this last, this is in Hebrews 12. I had a really nice slide, I remember it. But it just says this, it says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Here's the deal. Husbands, you're either are there to help to plant and cultivate the fruit that's going to fruit of the Spirit in your wives, or you're there creating a bitter root in your wives. You ask your wife what you're doing, and if she loves you and she's honest with you and you're really willing to hear it, you better listen. Are you cultivating good fruit in your wife, demonstrating, serving, showing her love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Is that what you're cultivating in your wife? Or are you cultivating a bitter root because you're harsh and lazy and demanding and not leading like you should? Something to think about. So next week, we can all pick on the children together. So that'll be fun, okay? So let's pray and just thank the Lord that I've survived. Lord, we just want to say thank you for your word, Lord, that doesn't return void. I pray in Jesus' name right now, Lord, if there is anything that was spoken here that was of me or that was spoken incorrectly, that you would supernaturally erase it from their minds or have that person come and speak to me so that we can explain it the correct way, Lord. Or if they didn't understand, they wouldn't go away mad or angry or they would come to hear what you have to say and to have it explained in more detail, and that you would give me the words or someone else in here, Gary or Tom or Carl, whatever, Lord, that you give us the words, Lord God. I pray in Jesus' name that anything that was of you, whether it was spoken by me or Jim or Nicole or Natalie or Elijah or any of the other folks in here that spoke, Lord God, that you would impress that your word, your truth down deep in our hearts, Lord, and that we would receive anything and everything that you're speaking to us, Lord. We love you and we bless you. We praise you and we thank you in the mighty, powerful, awesome name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you guys. Men, we'll see you Tuesday.